Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Blind... Ah, oh, fuck, I'm live, too. Hey, everybody. Okay. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Blind Spot. That's the word I wanted. This is my podcast, and it's being done live, and I've already completely fucked up, which sucks. But you know what? Life is just a series of failures until death, mitigated by the occasional success. So I'll just take that failure on the chin and continue on. As I was trying to say, welcome to the latest episode of The Blind Spot. I am your host, Jason Pulaski, a blind man, which is why I called the show what I've called it. Now my phone has fucking gone off and distracted me further. This is fucking really good. Good radio, good podcasting. Anyway, I'm totally frazzled, but let me just hop back into fucking what I was going to talk about. Anyway, it's Monday, March 18th, and I'm live from Willington recovering from hernia surgery. The recovery is going apace. The wounds hurt. Not so much the former hernia. Not that that's relevant to what I'm going to talk about, I don't think, but, you know, it's on my mind, so I figured I would mention it. You know, I did a live show before once, and I was so nervous because there might have been a live audience. I mean, there was a small live audience, and it made me so nervous. I felt like a very hyperactive animal. I felt like a jumping bean on cocaine. You know, I was just babbling and like realized that I think my mouth had outrun my brain by a good hour. So I didn't publish that as a podcast episode. I just deleted it. And, you know, I am in some ways a perfectionist. So because I didn't do well then, I'm going to take the same topic I fucked up then and attempt it today. And hopefully I'll do a much better job. Like what I want to talk about is TikTok and the banning of TikTok in the United States and, you know, why I support that. And like, we'll get into some other topics from there, but TikTok is the jump off point. So, like the first thing I want to say is I don't really like TikTok as an app. I think that it ruins people's attention spans. I think its architecture gives rise to like rapid scrolling and lack of attention and like forces people to make short, stupid content or short content that's more likely to be stupid instead of long content that's likely to be smart. I just think those are the pressures of the app, the way it's built. But, you know, I don't think it's the job of the law to make people into better people or otherwise we'd mandate like legally running 3 miles every day and stuff. There's plenty of things that are bad for us that are legal, like smoking cigarettes and gambling and like, you know, a triple Whopper at Burger King. So I'm not thinking that TikTok should be abolished or banned just because the app itself might be bad for us. And I also want to point out that, like, I've heard from sources that I trust that you can use TikTok in a good way, just like every other tool. It's like if you're into carpentry, TikTok's For You page is just going to show you videos on carpentry. Or if you're into modern dance specifically, you know, your For You page will show you that, or news, or whatever the fuck. It doesn't have to inherently be a bad app. It's much like all these other social media tools we have as people in the 21st century, where it's like the tools themselves aren't necessarily bad. You know, if you're using a hammer to pound nails into your own hand, that's on you, not really the hammer. So that's a long way of saying, you know, I don't care about TikTok the app being bad. There are plenty of bad things in the world. You know, so what happened is last week, the U.S. House of Representatives, that's the big one and not the small one, in case you were confused, it voted like 350 to 65 or so to ban TikTok, to either make the Chinese company called ByteDance that owns TikTok, either force that company to sell it to an American company or otherwise ban the app. It's a, you know, it'd be a choice the company could make. And I favor that. And like the reason I favor that is because China owns TikTok and I don't trust the Chinese. I feel like given this day and age, you know, some people are like, why, you're racist? It's like the immediate question. The answer is probably not. But the reason they don't trust the Chinese is because the Chinese people have built themselves a bad nation, an evil nation. I don't like communism, and that's what they've built. There was a civil war that ended in 1949, and the communists won, to make a very long story short. And like the people who lost live on Taiwan now, that little island China might invade any day. And, you know, so the Chinese communists won in 1949, and since that time, the people of China have chosen to keep that government in place. It's been 60, 70 years now. And so, like, you know, the nation of China is sort of like an evil project, in my opinion. I sometimes wonder, I'm just going to see if anyone's commented anything for a second. For you people listening into the non-live version, sorry, but, you know, I got to fucking balance out live and not live. Let's see. Anyone said anything? Oh, I see Matt Fox has entered the live studio. You know, that's nice. Anyway, so let me see here. Where was I before I got distracted? All right. Why communism is not good. So the thing is, I feel like a bunch of people have the wrong idea about communism when they hear it. I think that a lot of people, I mean, if you already agree with me that communism is bad, you can, I don't want to say stop listening. Don't do that. But I'm going to be preaching it to the choir here. So, you know, if you wonder why I'm so adamant that communism is a bad thing, it's because this is how I think about it in my head. It's like this guy Karl Marx, you know, had this idea of communism. Like, hey, let's make a stateless, classless society where the workers own the means of production, yada, yada, yada. Because he was living at a time when, you know, they would have like five-year-olds selling buttons onto clothing until their like fingers bled to the bone. And like, he saw firsthand, or at least heard about secondhand, the excesses of capital. The excesses of capital when capital had very few checks on it. And, to stop this, you know, he devised this system that would, in theory, mitigate the excesses of capital by destroying it or by harnessing the power of capital entirely for the state. So he wrote a couple books and talked about this theory. And so what it's like is if, in theory, somebody made a machine for puppies that was intended to like tickle them and amuse them and like, you know, throw balls for them and feed them filet mignon and like clean them and keep the environment nice and like just basically a puppy heaven, like a big rat maze for dogs, you know. And communism in theory is that. It's just one nice society. But the problem is like whenever communism has actually been put into practice, what we end up creating is a dog wood chipper and torture chamber. It's just a puppy torture chamber. It's like, hey, these puppies are on the rack. These puppies are starving. Like, these puppies are being gutted alive, etc., etc. And, like, you know, countries have tried communism, I don't know, several times. There's Cuba, there's China, there's the former Soviet Union, which gave us, like, several varieties of Soviet communism. You know, there's Yugoslavia, there's North Korea, there's Vietnam, which is actually probably the most successful communist country as far as the country not being a shithole for the average person. Although that's not the average person who expresses a political opinion. So there's key points. But anyway, communism usually turns into this mess where, first of all, the economic theories are bad. And so then like what happens is the communists take over a country and then they end up tanking an economy. Because all the economic things they put into practice ruin the economy, especially, if not for the country as a whole, which it usually is, but especially for the individuals who were making a little money before. They're not making it under communism. So, the state tanks the economy or, like, twists it into such a way that, like, you know, the state is now making, like, big steel bars as, like, 30% of people have food insecurity who didn't have it before. And then the state also like has to impose communism on a big non-communist population. So they basically like, you know, try to indoctrinate people into communism through, you know, intimidation and violence and stuff. So, you know, like they get a hold of the schools and they make people parrot back a bunch of bullshit. You know, and people who don't want to parrot back that bullshit get murdered. And then like when the murdering phase stops because so many people have been murdered, the people are now scared. Then like the less violent phase begins, but it's only less violent because, you know, the killing has already been done. The bodies have been piled up in the streets high enough that the point is made that if you talk shit about this government, we're going to kill you. So fewer people talk shit. So, you know, that's what happens in communism. And then, like, what happens, you know, is at some point the economics of communism make so little sense and are working so poorly that the state has to readopt a lot of capitalism. And, like, each communist state does this in a slightly different way. But the part they never get rid of is the dictatorship part. It's like there is no communist state that also holds free elections. Because if that happened, there would be no more communism. So it can't happen, which is why communist states aren't democracies ever. It's like they say, like, we will have a communist country. They convince, like, 5% of the people that this is a good idea. They then have a communist country, but there's 95% of people who, if they had their way, would have some other form of government. So then, like, a lot of the communist government is tasked, like, by necessity with stomping out dissent and, like, bullying people into publicly liking communism, like the KGB in Russia or something. And, you know, whatever its equivalent in China is. So, like, in the case of China, what's happened is, like, China has decided to forgo certain aspects of a communist economy and has taken on a lot of capitalistic ideas, like people own big companies in China. But like the key difference is, so like in a free society, and I'm going to use the word the West to describe these free societies, but I don't just mean Europe and the United States. I mean liberal democracies. I don't mean left-leaning. I mean classically liberal democracies. So Japan counts here. South Korea counts. Taiwan counts. Australia counts. You know, but also countries like France and Germany and Great Britain and the United States and Canada. You know, the list I'm going for by now, I think. You know, like the free world, as, you know, some people like to call it. I mean, like, literally free. You know, it's these countries that work in a certain way. So, like, when you own a company in one of these countries, the government doesn't have the ability to just snap its fingers and order a company to do something. So, for example, like, a couple years ago, it was big in the news that Apple would not grant the FBI access to the contents of iPhones unless the FBI got a warrant and, like, a court order. It was a whole thing. Like, you know, some guy would shoot up a school and kill 35 people, and Apple would be like, we're not giving you access to that phone because it's going to make other consumers less likely to trust us. So you got to go get a warrant. And like things like that happen all the time, all the time. That's the general stance of companies. It's like, we're not just giving the government data. We might sell a government data or we might broker a deal, but like, you know, companies in Western countries are independent entities. And don't just kowtow to the government when it asks. The government has to squeeze them based on the law. Now, in China, it's different. In China, they've just made a law that says, like, you know, the state can do whatever it wants. Like, that's basically the law in China. I understand that if you are a scholar of modern Chinese legalism, you might quibble with me on a crossed I or a dotted T, but this is close enough for government work. In China, if the Chinese government wants a company to do things, a representative of the government tells the leadership of the company that they will be doing those things. You know, and if the company bucks against that, then the government will just break the guy's arms who owns the company and then throw him in a gulag for a while and then ask him if he'd prefer to reconsider doing that thing. Which he usually does, but if he has balls and doesn't, they'll just replace him with a different CEO and ask that new CEO the same question. So the company every Chinese company is just an extension of the Chinese state. There is no meaningful separation between Chinese companies and the Chinese government. So, like a newspaper, for example, is going to print everything the government wants printed and not print everything the government doesn't want printed. You know, like one of the great parts about being in the United States is that I can say, I think Donald Trump is a piece of shit. And I think he can go suck my dick. And no secret police are coming to, you know, bust me up over that. I'm not going to go to jail over that. The worst that's going to happen to me for saying that right now is I might have a Donald Trump supporter listening to my show who just decided now is the time to bounce out, you know. But I can say also, like, I think that the way Joe Biden is handling the U.S. southern border is a fucking disaster. He should close that shit immediately. What he's doing is appalling. Appalling. He's letting 300,000 illegal immigrants in every month. The number should be zero. I am deeply disappointed in this president who I otherwise support on that issue. I can also say, for example, that I think Joe Biden's withdrawal from Afghanistan was handled like that whole administration were monkey smoking crack. It's absolutely appalling that we had the Taliban providing us airport security as we withdrew. We should have occupied Kabul again just to provide ourselves a secure window to withdraw from. And we should have had, like, allowed a lot more Afghan refugees out with us so that the Taliban could marry off fewer seventh graders. Sidebar over, but the point here is that I get to say that because I'm in a republic. I'm in a free society, at least for now. So I get to shit-talk the government as much as I want, and nobody can do a goddamn thing about it. You know, so like, I'm sorry, there's somebody talking and I can hear them and it really irks me. It irks me so much I'm going to have to fucking walk. Pardon me. Pardon, you know, these are the burdens of doing live shows. So, you know, so anyway, like, because I live in a free society, I get to talk shit about the government as much as I want. And, like, they don't get to do that in communist China. If you say that, for example, you don't like how the Chinese run their government, they will break your fingers and beat the shit out of you. I mean, they might not do that the first time, but, like, that's just because they don't need to. Like, if you go on, like, the Chinese internet, people just can't publicly criticize the government. And that's a choice the Chinese people have made themselves. I don't mean they voted on it. I mean, it's a choice they keep making month by month as they allow the system to continue. So now the problem here, to jump all the way back to TikTok, TikTok is a company that does business in the United States, is you can access TikTok.
And I don't trust the Chinese. Oh my God.
Why does everything have to happen for me? Sorry, it's blind people software. It's interrupting my train of thought. Anyway, so, right in the middle of my point too, right in the middle of my culminating argument, I'm sorry. So, because TikTok is run by the Chinese, and does business in the United States, as in people in the U.S. have access to that network. It's the most popular social network, especially for our young people. I don't trust the Chinese at all to do fair business. I believe the Chinese will tell the owners of TikTok, like, this is what we want you doing with TikTok. We either want access to that data, or we want you to adjust the algorithm that TikTok uses to show people videos in the United States in these certain ways. And, like, we would like you to adjust the Chinese algorithm, which is used to show citizens of China videos in certain other ways to benefit China and harm America. So, I mean, this is just stupid, but, like, as an example, it's like we would like it more likely that people in the United States see videos that make them, on average, learn less, compared to we would like it more likely that the citizens of China are more likely to see videos that make them learn more. So more dances in the U.S. and more scientists in China. And that's a pretty benign, low-key example of what I'm talking about. But, like, the app could be used by the Chinese government in all sorts of nefarious and evil ways that are against the United States' interests. We're basically giving them access to the brains of our young people. And, like, we just simply don't have to do that. And it's mind-boggling to me that we are. There's no reason to do it. I have friends who like TikTok a lot. And when I get into this conversation with them, they point out that, you know, Google and Twitter, sorry, X, sorry, Elon, you know, and Podbean for that matter, and Facebook, and every other website and social media app and app you use is getting access to your data, more or less everyone. And those companies sell your data, they use your data, they advertise with your data, they do all sorts of shit with your data. And I would say, of course, that's 100% true. You know, you as an individual made a deal with that company for a service in exchange for data. I'd like to point out that their use of your data is on you. But also, they aren't Chinese companies. The thing is, like, Google is not going to have incentives to commit treason against the United States, whereas China has plenty of incentives to work against the United States because we are China's largest competition and we oppose basically everything they stand for, given that they're communists and totalitarians. I'm going to check my comments again just to see if I have any. Sorry for the pausing. But, you know, I can't read and talk at the same time. I cannot do that. Sorry. Sorry. Here we go. Okay. Hey, Super Sam Jr. How's it going, buddy? Yep. No comments. So I'm good. Let's see. So, in case you just joined me, you're listening to my podcast, The Blind Spot, done live today from Wicked Willington, Connecticut, where I'm talking about why I think we should ban TikTok for as long as it's Chinese-owned. I should mention, by the way, the solution I want is to convince the Chinese to sell TikTok to an American company so that we can keep using the app and not worry that the Chinese are manipulating it for their own ends, which seems like a completely obvious thing that they would do. You know, and I'd like, for the record, by the way, it isn't just TikTok I want to ban. If I was the president of the United States, and even as a private individual, what I advocate for is not trading with the Chinese at all. I mean, like, let's just say that right now, American bilateral trade, which means trade to China and trade from China, totals $150 billion a year. What I would like to do is bring that number to $0 a year. I don't want to import anything to China, and I don't want any Chinese exports whatsoever coming here. I would like to totally end the business relationship with the Chinese government for the same exact reason I don't want to trade with the Cubans or with the Iranians. I don't believe that it's necessary or in our interests for us to give evil nations our money. And, like, I need to be very clear here. I don't think that every citizen of China or every citizen of Iran or every citizen of Russia, for that matter, is an evil person just because they've created themselves an evil government. It doesn't work that way. You know, it's very possible that some of these countries have minority support for the government in them, as in less than 50% of the citizens of that country support what their government does and is. I mean, it is equally possible, however, that they have high majority support. It would not surprise me, for example, to discover that if Mr. Putin in Russia is successful in the Russian invasion of Ukraine, 80% of Russians will have decided retrospectively that invading and conquering Ukraine was a good deal. People like to back a winner. So I'm saying it's unclear, in totalitarian and authoritarian states if people do or do not support their government, because polling is hard there. People don't want to say they don't support the government and do want to say they do support the government because they know that's what the government wants to hear. It's a difficult thing to figure out. But the thing is, it doesn't really matter very much. If North Korea launches a full-on invasion of South Korea, as we're repelling that invasion, we're not going to stop every North Korean soldier before we kill him and say, hey, listen, how do you feel about your government? Because it's gone beyond that point. And I argue it's already gone beyond that point, well before war with the nations that we don't like. I don't care what individual Iranians think about their government so much, unless they want to rebel against it. I just care what the nation of Iran does, and I will respond to the nation of Iran collectively. Like, you know, like, so let's look at Afghanistan. That's a very good example. So in Afghanistan, the Taliban's key policy agenda item, it's basically the reason they took the country over, was to make sure that that women in Afghanistan can't leave the house without male guardianship and permission, that they drop out of school at age 12 at the end of the sixth grade, that they cannot work outside the home, that they cannot get university educations, that they are, in short, like chattel slaves within their own country. That's the major policy platform the Taliban were motivated by to take over Afghanistan. Two times, by the way, two different times. The people of Afghanistan let it happen two times, and especially the second time when they had been given $1 trillion, more or less, by the West and a lot of weapons by the United States. So the point here is I don't really care what polling says about how popular that government is in Afghanistan. I don't like the government the people of Afghanistan have created for themselves, and so I would like to put literally every single possible American sanction on Afghanistan. I don't want to sell them a fucking laptop computer, a mobile phone, a washing machine. I don't want to sell them American lumber. I don't want to sell them a grain of rice, a fucking cap full of penicillin, a fucking bottle of Viagra. I don't want to sell them a goddamn thing with zero exceptions whatsoever. No business done at all. Like, you know, if the people of Afghanistan would like to do business with the United States, they are free to overthrow their government, create one we approve of, and then we will open up all that trade again. And I feel the same way about all the other nations I think are bad, both bad morally and bad for us. It's like, you know, people say all the time, hey, you know, we should trade with Cuba again. The embargo against Cuba is punishing the Cuban people and not making them change their government. And it's like, well, look, no, we shouldn't do that. There's no upside for us in doing that. We don't need their money, some fucking tiny ass society. We don't need their money. They're not important to any American business. And there's no reason that we should reward the people of Cuba for creating themselves a communist government with American business. We don't have to do that. In fact, it should be the opposite. It's like, look, you know, if I was the president, I'd just park a couple luxury cruises right off Cuba, and I'd fucking throw, you know, fucking billions of dollars into the water. I'd just waste in front of them and be like, listen, if you want access to this market here, just overthrow your shitty government. That's all you got to do. Just overthrow the communists in Cuba, and we'll trade with you guys again. It's like what Obama did made no sense. It was a carrot with no stick. Obama temporarily lifted the trade embargo against Cuba, and then that treasonous cocksucker Donald Trump reimposed it, which was one of the smart things he did. There are a couple other ones. There's no need
for us to trade with these countries we don't like. Like, Venezuela is a country that went communist about 20 years ago. And they went so badly communist that in typical communist fashion, although they have the largest oil reserves in the world, they managed to fuck the refining of them up so bad that now Venezuela doesn't make any oil money. And several years ago, on average, each citizen of Venezuela had lost 18 pounds because they could not afford food, because that's how bad their inflation had become. And, like, of course, we shouldn't be trading with them either. I don't want to reward the people of Venezuela for creating a government I don't like. Like, you know, if your government opposes the United States in any way whatsoever, we don't have any obligation to trade with you. You don't have a right to our money and our business, you know. And look, Venezuela doesn't matter. It's not like Venezuela is going to conquer the world. I just want to, you know, kick them when they're down. Why not? And if that sounds a little hyperbolic, I don't mean exactly kick them while they're down. I'm saying, like, I don't want to provide a government who's the cut of whose jib I do not like any money. And that's what American trade does. I don't want to provide them technology. I don't want to do that. Like, and we shouldn't do it. There's no reason to do it. If they want American trade, they can simply change their government. Hey, buddy, how's it going? So, you know, sorry, I have obstacles to professionalism. Anyway, you know, let's see here. So like the thing is, you know, I understand that like when we don't trade with Iran or Cuba or Venezuela or China or any of these countries, like we're almost surely making the lives of the citizens of those countries harder. Because American goods worth being imported are usually imported for a reason. So, you know, lack of American trade and like lack of ability to do business with people who do business with America hurts countries, hurts people in countries. I understand that. So like when I say don't trade with Venezuela, if I advocate, which I do, by the way, a full stop of all trade whatsoever to the people of Venezuela. Oh my God, sorry. Jesus Christ, I'm going insane. I can hear things in the background of my live stream and they're just driving me right up the wall. Oh my God. Anyway, sorry. I'm sure that makes it harder for people in Venezuela not to have American trade. And like, good, they can overthrow their government then. You know, or we don't trade with them. I just don't see what the issue is. I don't see a compelling argument to trade with them instead. It's like you're hurting them you're helping them in the short term and hurting them in the long term by doing that. You take the pressure off the government. You free up resources for that government. It's like, listen, I don't want to give, like, sometimes in the United States, we literally give the North Korean people food. The same people that are being raised to, like, hate us and fight us in a war. We feed them. I don't think we get paid back for it. We pay money to send rice to North Korea when they have famines and stuff. That is insanity. There's no reason to do anything like that. We're feeding our enemies for no reason. Like the thing is, the North Koreans should be under as much pressure as possible every fucking day. And one of the ways to keep them under a great deal of pressure is not to give them free food when they're hungry. That government should start have to tell, like, the government should have to start pawning its good jewelry to fucking buy food. No way should we give them food. And like, the thing is, out of all these countries that I'm talking about, the Chinese are the most dangerous to us by far. It's like, we don't, like some of these other players, like Venezuela, like that doesn't matter. Cuba doesn't really matter. I mean, Iran does matter, but it's restricted to regional shit. Russia kind of matters, but it's regional, you know. So out of all the countries that we possibly have to worry about, China is highest on the list. And every month we give them money because we do a shitload of business with them. Our country is propping up their economy. It's insane. It's like, I don't know if you guys remember, but I don't know if you guys know, but so you know, before the people of Russia decided to invade Ukraine, and I know I'm being a little unfair, I know it wasn't all of them, and they didn't vote on it, but like before Russia under Vladimir Putin decided to invade Ukraine, like the Europeans were I'm sorry, the reason I'm distracted is because I hear somebody talking in the background and I worry you can hear it too, and it's just very horrible for me. Anyway, before Putin invaded Ukraine, many European countries were buying Russian natural gas and Russian oil from the Russians. And when the war started, even though they opposed the war, these same countries kept buying Russian energy, and some of them are literally still buying Russian energy. They're still buying Russian natural gas and some Russian oil. It is the craziest thing I've ever heard. So a country like Germany will buy Russian oil on February 1st and then cut Ukraine a check for $5 billion on February 2nd and then buy a little Russian natural gas on February 3rd. Like, it's acting at cross purposes. Either you oppose that war enough that you don't feel the need to fund it through purchasing things from Russia, or you don't oppose the war and you buy oil, you buy energy from Russia. Doing both things is like robbing Peter to pay Paul. It's crazy. So like, that's what we're doing with the Chinese. And like, I expect absolute shit policy and foolishness from European countries.
they display that all the time, but not from us, not when it comes to our enemies. But that's what we're displaying, you know. And China is an enemy of ours. Like, we work at diametrically opposed interests, just because often what we want is the opposite of what they want, in a pretty wide ranging pattern. And you know, so when we give money to China through trade, and when we allow access to American markets for the Chinese, which allows them to build factories knowing they can sell to us, we are literally basically funding an enemy before a war. It would be like if right before the Cold War with the Soviet Union, we gave them $20 trillion of American business. It's just stupid, stupid shit. And we should not be doing it. And, like, you know, I want to address, I'm going to look at my comments a second just to see if anyone has said anything to me. If you haven't, you know, that's fine. Let's see. Hey, Miss Brew, how's it going? Anyway, so another thing people say to me is that, you know, sometimes I talk about this TikTok thing and the Chinese thing and the communism, authoritarianism thing, and people say, like, well, we live in fake democracies anyway. I had a British friend who said, you know, we only get two bad choices in Britain for prime minister, and you guys have Trump and Biden again. Another horrible choice. I mean, I actually think Joe Biden's doing a pretty good job. It just would be better if he wasn't 279 years old. But, like, I see her point. It's like, you know, most people, I think, in the United States would have preferred a 2024 election that was not Trump versus Biden. I think that's a safe statement. There are some diehard Biden supporters and some Trump supporters who are diehard, but I think at least two-thirds of this country, if asked, would say, I would prefer two totally new people running for president. I know I'm one of those people. Anyway, so, but I have a couple things to point out. First of all, I have no idea how the Brits pick their prime minister. I think they use a sorting hat. But I know that in the United States, you know, what we do is we have primaries. We have political primaries. So the Democrats held a primary, and nobody who mattered had the balls to challenge Joe Biden in that primary. It's what happened. Joe Biden ran more or less unopposed and got the nomination. Or got enough delegates in the primary process that he'll get the nomination in July. And then maybe 10 or 12 Republicans ran against Mr. Trump, and they all got creamed. He like, you know, he like ripped out their guts and chewed on their bones and spat them onto the ground dead. And then they all kissed his ass, which is what happens in that party these days. So there was a Republican primary, and the Republican electorate, the Republican voters, chose Trump. So as far as that goes, that's not a fake choice. That was a real choice. And there could have been a Democratic primary, too, if some Democrat had had the balls to challenge Joe Biden. The fact that they all decided not to was a series of individual decisions, you know? So that's the thing. It's like, so I just need to expand upon this point. So, like, right now I'm in the town of Willington. I have no clue who runs this town. I don't know how the town government works. I don't know when elections are held to decide who gets into that town government. I don't know when the town meetings are. I don't know if there's a town council or a mayor. And also, like, you know, Connecticut has a state legislature. So just the same way, like, laws for the United States are made in Washington, D.C. by the House of Representatives and the Senate and the president, Connecticut has, like, a state version of that government. I have no idea who Willington sends to that government. I have no idea, like, I don't know anything about it. I don't know. I barely know who the governor is. I mean, I might not even know who the governor is. It's either Dan Malloy or Ned Lamont. Damn it. It's either Dan Malloy or Ned Lamont. It's probably Ned Lamont. But, like, see, I'm a huge political junkie, and, like, state politics is so boring to me, I don't know shit about it. I don't know what the most recent laws in Connecticut passed were. I don't know how much the people who run Willington won by in their most recent election. I don't know a goddamn thing. I don't know who ran in the congressional primaries in Connecticut or in New Hampshire, where I was just living. And only 27% of Americans bother to vote in primaries anyway. So it's not, in my opinion here, it's not that we have fake democracies. It's that we've gotten into a crazy situation where we've decided not to participate in them, like in a really aggressive way. So it's like, you know, if you're listening to me right now and you live in the United States, do you know who runs your town? Like, do you know who your state representatives are, the people who make the laws for your district in your state, you know? Like, do you know who your congressman is? Do you know, like, who ran against them in the primaries? I mean, if the answer to a lot of these questions is no, you know, then that's you failing to participate in democracy. And I got to be really clear, like, I did not vote in the primaries in March in New Hampshire. Sorry. In January. I was going to vote, but then I ended up having my first podcast guest instead and decided instead of voting, I would do a podcast. So I just want to point out that I am not a good citizen either. And like, but that's the reason we get what we get over here. It's like, you know, it's like everybody's just sitting here, feet up, beer on their crotch, watching the news going like, hey, the government sucks. I'm going to have another beer. I'm going to go to sleep, and like maybe if I'm really pissed off, I'm going to write an angry social media post and say action should be taken. And then like, you know, I'll like some of the comments I get in response to my post, and I feel like I've taken some action. And then I'm going to go to sleep and then go about my business until the next time I happen to see the news and see that it sucks. You know, so it's wild. It's a wild situation. It's like, and I would argue that that holds true. That's the biggest problem in every nation of the free world. It's not the systems that we've created for ourselves. It's not the government we built. It's that nobody engages with it who isn't a fucking radical. I don't mean nobody. I mean a lot of people who engage are radical. They are radical Republicans or radical Democrats because that's what gets you out and engaging. And then everybody else is just sitting there going, this sucks. Am I going to do anything? Nah, I'm not going to engage with the system. Am I going to campaign for a new candidate? No. Am I going to vote? No. Am I going to fucking tell my friends to vote? No. Whatever, you know, so it's like our participation is minimal in a government designed our participation is minimal in a government designed to not be spectator sport. Where it's the government is designed for you to participate in it in an aggressive way and you don't. And then the government sucks. But like, that's not because of the fucking architecture of your government. And meanwhile, you get some people in Syria or like Afghanistan or Iran or, you know, fucking most of Africa, most of South and Central America, where, like, you aren't really allowed most of the Middle East, all of China, many, many, like, and many other countries where freedom is not an option. You know, you say you don't like how the president's running the country, and they send some thugs to beat the shit out of you and rape your wife, and then beat the shit out of you again, and then you can't get a job, and you get fired from the job you did have, and maybe they throw you into prison for a couple months and torture you. Maybe they shoot you, maybe they don't. You know, maybe they deport you, maybe they don't. Maybe they just, like, cut one of your feet off for fun, you know. And, like, these are slightly exaggerated versions of what I'm talking about. I mean, like, you know, perhaps they just send a couple guys to intimidate you verbally. Or they, you know, whatever. But the point is, it's not a free society. And, like, the thing is, I feel like this is the point that has the most pushback on it because people want to be like making these arguments like, well, it's not that different. It's not that different from here because, you know, here I don't like my senator. I don't like my MP. I don't like the prime minister. I don't like the president. And like, I didn't vote for this guy and the government sucks. And look how sloppy and corrupt these politicians are. All true shit, by the way. That's all true. Most of what you're complaining about is true. Except the difference is here, you can go change that and that nobody's going to break your fingers. You just choose not to do that. And by you, I mean all of us. Like 27% of people vote in American primary elections. That's too low. It should be 70% of people. It's too low. Like people are not participating. Like, look, I hate Donald Trump a lot. I hope there's nobody who hates Donald Trump more than me. I mean, if I could say one thing to Donald Trump, I would be like, you were a horrible president. And you could have been a good one and chose not to be one. You're a bad person. You're committing treason. I don't even want to get distracted. I'm just trying to – and like, listen, if you really like Donald Trump, cool. I don't care. Like, fine. That's not my point. It's not my point. Imagine that you hate Joe Biden just as much as I hate Donald Trump. It's a democracy. It's a free society. That's fine. My point here is that – you know, My point here is that Donald Trump got elected through a movement of grassroots people. Trump spoke to people so well from their perspective that they went out and they voted for him. I mean, there's an old line that somebody says, Donald Trump is running as a Republican. That's funny. I thought Donald Trump was running as a joke. And that's the difference between stupid jokes and people who go vote, is Donald Trump wasn't running as a joke. He was running as a Republican, and the Republican Party voted him into office against the judgment of party regulars and elites, by the way. That wasn't anybody's top pick in the smoke-filled rooms, you know. Donald Trump was the people's pick, the people of the Republican Party. So it's like, don't tell me that democracy is dead and doesn't work. It works fucking great. Trump is a perfect fucking example. And so is Barack Obama, who was supposed to lose to Hillary Clinton, except he exercised the passion of his base. And they came out and they voted. That happens all the time. You see it when certain things hit the ballot, like abortion. You know, in certain states, like, you know, abortion overperforms. So, like, people go vote Republican, and then some of those same people who vote Republican go split their ticket and vote for abortion. So democracy isn't dead, it's just underutilized in the free world. And like, that's on all of us. But I need to point out that that's not the same thing as living under communism. It's not the same thing. I don't trust the Chinese as far as I can throw fucking a piano. I don't trust them one little bit. I don't want to buy paper clips from the Chinese. You think I want to buy computer chips from them? Guess what? I don't. I don't want to buy Chinese electric cars. I don't want to fucking buy tea from China. I don't want to buy a goddamn thing from China. In fact, I want to put every single sanction we possibly can on them over the next few years. We can't do it in a month, I understand that. But I'm saying, I do not want to do business with fucking evil nations. And yet again, I just don't want my position to be understood. I'm not saying a person in Iran is evil just because they happen to have been born there. I know for a fact that very many people oppose that government, just not well, so I don't care. I care when like, you know what? When you successfully oppose that government, I'll give you all the American trade you want. When you depose those Ayatollahs and throw Khomeini out a fucking window, or whatever the fuck you guys choose to do over there, I will open fucking the spigot and give you as much American trade as you want. And that goes for the Cubans and the Venezuelans and the Russians, everybody we're not trading with now. You know what? When you make a government we like, we'll trade with you. And if you make a government we don't like, and we really don't like it, I don't want us trading with you. I don't want us doing any business with you. I don't want us sharing any technology with you, because you're going to use that to do things we don't like. You know what's going to happen is we're going to sell Iran a facial recognition app, and they're going to use that facial recognition app to find women with their hair uncovered and beat the fuck out of them in police stations. I don't want to be a party to that. And I don't want to be a party to the Iranian government in any fucking capacity. Or Afghanistan or any of these other places. You know what I'm saying? If we don't like your fucking style or your substance, we're not trading with you. And we shouldn't do it. And there's no reason to do it. We don't need the fucking money. Period. That's it. I mean, if anyone is actually listening to me live and you have a different take on this, if you have a reason for why we should be fucking like letting China use TikTok and fucking get access to all our data and fucking manipulate us through it, go ahead. Give me a reason. Thing is, it's like, look, you know, of course X is an American company. Of course Amazon is fucking trying to suck your bone marrow out through the data you give it. You know, I mean, like, if you use Facebook on a regular basis, they are data mining the shit out of you. There are two reasons that's happening. One, they want to make money. And two, we have not forced our government to pass laws to stop that from happening. And I'd like to point out, though, that in a free society, if you'd like to give Facebook your data in exchange for whatever shitty service Facebook gives you, I mean, in exchange for whatever service Facebook provides you that you enjoy, go ahead. Go do that. That's a personal decision between you and Facebook. But the thing is, Facebook has no incentive to commit treason. Facebook is an American company. And markets itself first to an American audience, in the sense that, like, you know, Facebook's incentives are pretty well aligned with American incentives. So it's not the same thing when Facebook uses your data to make money as when the Chinese use your data to fucking support and what's it's not support to do things that are in the Chinese national interest. Like, you know, the Chinese are going to say to the owners of TikTok, make Americans more divided any way you can. And they're going to do that because if they don't do that, some guy's going to yank their teeth out. You know, or they're good communists and do it with pleasure. I don't want to presume either way. And, like, I don't want to engage in any of that shit. And, like, I had a friend, and I really don't like to quote the opinions of friends who haven't been on my podcast, but I'm almost forced to because so few of my friends are on my show. So I had a friend who said they know a person who works for the Beijing Times, and that the Beijing Times is not an untrustworthy news source because they can print what they want. Like, no, they can't. You know, no, they can't. Do you think they can print a headline calling for new elections or criticizing lucidly and clearly the policies of the Chinese government over the last year and a half? Or, you know, for example, running strong opinion pieces against how the Chinese dealt with COVID-19? Like, do you think they can publish things calling for an anti-communist movement in the Chinese government? Of course they can't. So why do you think they get to print anything else? Like, they don't. Everything that pops up in the Chinese internet, in the Chinese newspapers, and on Chinese state television is a thing that Chinese have approved, have pre-approved. It is a environment that may look like it's a free environment, but it's heavily censored and curated. You know, and I'm not saying this, like, for any reason other than I think it's true. I just don't like unfree societies. And, like, just in case I haven't mentioned the overarching reason why this is so important, is because I think we have entered and are accelerating into a new Cold War. If you guys remember your high school history, it's like the Cold War with the Soviet Union. Well, we're in a new one now with all the authoritarians, with Iran and China and North Korea and Russia and their allies. You know, birds of a feather flock together, and we're seeing a flocking now. You know, we're going to see the democracies group up on one side and the authoritarians group up on the other side. And, like, you know, I don't want to give money to the other side as this begins. I just don't want to do it. I see a couple years down the road. It's like if you think it's a 50-50 shot that Taiwan invades, sorry, if you think there's a 50-50 shot that by 2035, China invades Taiwan, and you are against China invading Taiwan, why on earth would you be in favor of your country doing any business with China now? You are simply filling their larders for war later, and I am against that. And if you think that China will do what it can to promote anti-democratic movements throughout the world, as I do, then why would you want to give them any money to do that, which is what trading with them does? It fills their coffers. It provides them outlets for economic growth. I mean, I want to do the opposite. I want to do everything we can to weaken the nation of China because it's a bad country doing bad things. You know, and that's it. Like, I think I've covered the topic. I think I'm done covering the topic. Like, and you know, to be clear, I'm not picturing like a bunch of cartoon Asian people tugging on their beards and going, ho, 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 ho. Like, that's not what's happening here. The Chinese have just decided to create a system that is bad. It's communism. We've seen it 1,000 times before. If you've seen 3 countries that are communist, you've seen them all. It's the same shit every time, you know. And it's that shit now. And the Chinese have done it better than every other communist nation. They haven't collapsed yet. You know, and they're a serious threat to the free world, and that's it. It's no more complicated than that. And, like, you know, if anyone listening has a lucid, good counter-argument, go ahead and put it in the comments. I mean, I'll engage with it right now. I'm not going to, like, jump down your throat and call you a dumbass or anything. I just want to know what possible argument there is against this. I think I'm talking the most commonsensical common sense shit ever. You know. But of course that's what I would think. I'm me. I'm just taking a look at these comments for a sec, seeing if any of you wonderful people have said anything to me. No, you haven't. So, listen, everybody. I'm going to wrap the show up. Thanks so much for listening. This has been the 11th episode of The Blind Spot. And if you enjoyed the show, go find me wherever podcasts are podcasted. The podcast is called The Blind Spot. And I am your host, Jason Pulaski. Thanks for being here. I'm glad for glad for you listening, and I've enjoyed doing it. So I'll catch you guys next time. Peace out, bitches.